Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. December 26, 2021. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, Israel's most effective weapon against Iran. It seems that the Zionist regime has forgotten that Iran is more than capable of hitting it from anywhere. The Tehran Times recently opened its front page article with a map of targets against Israel covering virtually the entire territory of the country. The headline, "Just One Wrong Move." The accuracy of the targets has been questioned by Israeli officials, but no one questions Iran's clear intention to wipe out Israel. Therefore, the Israeli people must wake up from their slumber and bring to the forefront the hope that there will be no war, either against the Ayatollah's regime or against any other hostile factor. The next war could be very difficult and even involve the use of nuclear weapons. Even though we are surrounded by the feeling that our armed forces are capable of responding quickly to any attack, from wherever it comes, the situation is nevertheless alarming and we must not remain idle for a moment. No one wants to see pictures of destroyed houses, frightened people or screaming women and children. That is why we need to think seriously about how to prevent what looks like an imminent war. We must be constantly on our guard and vigilant. Cohesion among us should be of paramount importance. We have no stronger weapon than the power of connection between us. There is no stronger force than a close and cohesive bond between the people, of a positive spirit flowing between us, as the result of mutual guarantee. If we can overcome our inner enemies, polarization, division, and rampant selfishness, we will be able to prevent any threat or war. The people of Israel have a supreme power to protect us, but it only works if we awaken it from a heartfelt connection between us. When there is love, unity and friendship among Israel, no disaster can come upon them, says the Book of Morvah Shemesh, Light and Sun, and dozens of other ancient sources, and when there is a connection between them and no separation of hearts, they have peace and tranquility. And all curses and afflictions are thereby removed. When I look at the behavior of government officials and read the news, I do not see unity being considered a priority for solving our problems at home and abroad. Even those who are aware of the danger lurking on our doorstep are not taking social, domestic responsibility. Our existence, social and political, begins with the question of whether we will be able to raise our heads a little above our bickering bubble. We must realize that we have no other way to save ourselves than to begin to draw closer to one another, despite our natural sense of distance. We are given opportunities for correction from above, for a change in our relationship, from estrangement to cohesion. The threat from outside should bring us closer to our heart, but we underestimate the message of unity and are not ready to digest it, or at least to spread it and make everyone aware of its importance. In times of war, one am sure we will unite to be saved, we will be brothers in need. But it is an outward and temporary unity out of desperation and there is no real love in it. The eyes of the wise man are in his head, Ecclesiastes 2:14, said King Solomon. So it all begins with our realization of the need to turn over every stone until we reach the noble goal of overcoming our differences. This is the correction we must strive for, to raise the value of the connection between us, and make it happen. We, the Jewish people, have an orderly method, inherited from ancient times, waiting for us to apply it for peace and tranquility. My thoughts on Twitter December 26, 2021. The prices for energy are growing all over the world. This is good news, as it will force people to give up all unnecessary activities. This will happen with all the products that man produces. Nature will show us what is necessary and sufficient. Only this will remain. Medium published my new article, "Protestant Americans Becoming Unaffiliated Is Not Good News for America." According to a recently published Pew Research, in 2007, 78% of Americans identified as Christians. Now, in 2021, that number is down to 63%. At the same time, the share of Americans who identify as having no religion, nones, went from 16% to 29%. When you look at the Christian population, you will find that the share of Catholics in America has changed very little, and the vast majority of Christians who become nones comes from Protestant denominations. Taking into consideration that this development is not a result of a revolution, but a gradual and voluntary trend, I think it is a problem. It is a deflection from the spirit of the founders of the nation, and quite a rapid one at that. If religion becomes a matter of culture, without any commitments to certain codes of conduct, it will not be good for America. Religion used to give people a sense of belonging and a purpose. It gave them a moral code and a system of rules by which to behave at home, at work, and everywhere throughout their lives. People would learn the laws of their religion at childhood, and would continue with them through their lives. It was the people's philosophy of life. Religion no longer gives people any of that, so they leave. For the most part, as the survey shows, they do not leave for anywhere in particular. They don't venture into other religions, at least not yet, but rather away from their own faith, and often away from faith altogether. Today's young people do not need religion, there are no advantages in it for them. In Russia, the authorities are reviving religion after decades of being stymied under the Soviet regime. They are doing it to keep people in check, so they do not go too far to the extreme left or the extreme right. Instead, religion is used to manipulate the public and control it. But America is not Russia. Americans do not feel about religion what the Russians feel, and so the whole structure is crumbling. Ironically, the only part of life where religion can still give answers that people might want to hear is death. We are all afraid of it, and religion has comforting answers. Because contemporary life offers no comfort over the passing of our loved ones or the fear of our own demise, we suppress the fear through distractions. Video games, online broadcasts, movies, and other forms of entertainment are taking the place of religion. But for those who still believe in the afterlife, religion offers a welcome comfort. Previously, religious centers also served as community centers where people would gather for community meals or to celebrate holidays. But today, people keep more to themselves and have no interest in community life. We have become very materialistic, everything is a bargain, a give-and-take relationship. People want to see immediate results, and religion does not offer it. At best, it provides a soothing promise of a good future in the afterlife, but fewer people need it as a source of comfort, so religion is losing its appeal. The ebb and flow of people moving into religion and out of it will continue, and it will eventually lead people to ask about the meaning of life. They will begin to ask, "Who am I? Why am I here?" And they will have to answer these questions or they will find no reason to live, no meaning in their lives. It is already happening in the younger generation, and it will continue to expand across all age groups. Once they come to that point, they will find that the meaning of life is not in comforting answers about the afterlife or in imagining a world where everyone follows the strict rules of one particular god of one particular religion. Instead, they will find the meaning of life here and now, among us, in nurturing mutual concern and care for one another. People will find meaning in giving and helping, rather than in taking and defeating others. They will fill their hearts with love for others, and love itself will be the meaning of their lives. Granted, it is a process, and we are not there yet. At the moment, matters seem to be growing darker, but isn't it always the darkest right before the dawn? The cure for all miseries. I want my sufferings to be sufferings of love from the fact that I do not know how to love my friends and love the Creator. If I want to exchange my sufferings with sufferings of love so that instead of hatred and rejection of my friends and the Creator I come to love, then through this, I turn all evil into good. In that case, I will never feel any harm, evil, or pain. If I strive to connect with my friends, then this will be a universal medicine that protects me from any misfortune. I must feel that when I separate from the ten I fall into a raging sea, I am thrown out of the boat. This is how I must feel about my life. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, December 21, 2021, Writings of Balha Sulam, Shemati number 104, and the saboteur was sitting. My new article on LinkedIn, Redefining Progress. This Saturday, NASA is planning to launch its much-awaited next-generation space telescope, the James Webb Space Telescope. The telescope, which has been in the making for decades, is the most complex space science observatory ever built. According to NASA, Webb will peer more than 13.5 billion years back into cosmic history to a time when the first luminous objects were evolving. It's the first observatory capable of exploring the very earliest galaxies. Webb will also study the atmospheres of planets orbiting other stars, and observe moons, planets, comets, and other objects within our own solar system. Technology is a wonderful thing. It has given us abundant and cheap energy, appliances that make our lives easy and traveling enjoyable and safe. Technology has given us advanced medicine, longevity, knowledge beyond our dreams, and eyes that can see the edge of the universe. Yes, for centuries, we have been pinning our hopes on technology to give us something that it isn't meant to give us, happiness. We thought that making life easier and longer would make us happier, but we were wrong. This is why from the days when we derived light and heat from a fire we lit by banging stones against each other, to the days when we switch on an electric device energized by solar panels, we have not been able to satisfy our most basic need, to feel happy. Happiness comes not from technology, but from good relationships with the people around us. If we keep pinning our hopes on technology to make us happy, we are sentencing ourselves to a life of misery. However, if we focus on nurturing good relationships with the people around us, we will surely be happy. Once we have that solid foundation of good relationships and feel happy and content, technology can be a great addition. In this case, we will know how to use technology to improve and strengthen our relationships, and we will not be misled into thinking that technology itself can, or should, make us happy. Currently, when we think of progress, we think of technological progress. But real progress is not in switching from fire power to solar power, but in building better connections that generate warmth between us. We need to redefine progress to reflect improvement in our relations rather than in our ability to generate more energy through nuclear fission or fossil fuel production. When our hearts are lit up by the people around us, we will know what kind of energy to use, how much of it we really need, and how best to use technology for our sake and for the sake of everyone else. About the fear of death. What can you say to a person who knows that his illness is incurable, his days are numbered, and he is tormented by the fear of death? First of all, one must remember that everything comes from the Creator in order to achieve the ultimate goal. And as for the ultimate goal, it is clear that each of us will eventually say goodbye to this corporeal life, this lowest, heaviest, and most obscure world. Therefore, the main thing is to try and be connected to the goal as much as possible. There is nothing to be afraid of because everyone will someday feel that this material life is ending, and you must bind yourself more tightly with the next, spiritual life. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, December 21, 2021, Writings of Balha Sulam, Shemati number 104, and the saboteur was sitting. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, how do we change our perception of life to become happier? We first need to understand how we perceive life, which is through a lens of self-concern. We do not perceive life as is, but we have five senses of sight, smell, touch, hearing and taste, five openings through which we constantly receive information. If we transcend our five senses, then we come to sense a new and different reality. Everything that we perceive is in our ego, that is in our desire to enjoy with an intention to enjoy for self-benefit alone. This ego accompanies and directs us to enjoy every moment of our lives, to gain as much as we can, and lose as little as possible. Nature has programmed us to desire, think and act out of self-concern at every moment, and our bodies do so in very sophisticated and clever ways. Our perception of life is thus very limited, in terms of what we want, what we understand and feel, what we receive, and what we own. According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we exist in an eternal, abundant and perfect reality, and our perception greatly narrows this reality to a tiny limited point. We have no idea about the vastness of the options and opportunities that exist in the universe. It turns out that our bodies are our enemies, not our friends, as they force us to live inside them, detached from the abundant pleasure that exists outside. Therefore, the key to change our perception of life and become happier is to exit the perception of life we receive through our five senses, and enter into a new perception of life, one above our bodies, where we open a new sense that can perceive the eternal and perfect reality. The wisdom of Kabbalah calls this new sense a screen, masach in Hebrew, and the entire method of Kabbalah is aimed at developing this screen up to a point where we discover everything we possibly can in our perception of life. By doing so, we gain access to the source of happiness, that is, we achieve happiness in its eternal, perfect and true form, and thus become happy in the truest sense of the term. Based on the video How to Perceive a Different Reality with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. If there were no others. Question: why does a person love someone and hate someone else? Wouldn't it be better to treat everyone equally? Why are there such polar opposites? Answer: then why do I need everybody? One person is enough for me. And so, proceeding from the fact that there are many different people, I can develop myself, project myself onto others, and study myself. After all, if there were no others, I would not know myself. Question: why is man given hatred? It would be much easier without hatred. Answer: not at all. Hatred is the greatest acquisition we have, because everything that can be built precisely above hatred by rejecting it and building good, building love. Question: does the feeling of hatred help a person in their development? Answer: yes, this is help from above. So it is said about the evil inclination of man that this is help against you. If you look at evil as standing against you, it will help you. From Cab TV's Kabbalah Express, December 6, 2021. Building trust in a relationship. Question: you say that it is an art to build trust and good relations in couples. It can come after many years of crises and mistakes. What is the key principle in the art of building trust? Answer: there are two things. The first is to understand that we are egoists and have been through different crises in life. The second is that from now on we want to build correct and good relations and to enjoy life. Question: how do you define the concept of trust in a couple? Answer: it is about setting an example, relating to your partner with an open heart, and receiving whatever comes from him or her as something that is basically good. Comment: I see that you have great trust in people. My response: not at all, but there is no choice. We need to know how to feed our egoistic beast so that it will agree to connect with our partner, so we will live a life of joy. From Cab TV's New Life 1327, Building Trust in a Relationship, December 12, 2021. Turn the evil connection into a good one. Comment: you said that the feeling of hell is an inner state of a person. One of the reasons for feeling unfulfilled is the inner attitude toward others to use them for one's own sake. My response: ordinary desires to receive are animalistic desires. They are neither good nor bad because they obey commands of nature. A person has an inherent desire to exist comfortably at the minimal level, and this is normal. Even within the framework of the law, if someone stole a piece of bread somewhere just to satiate his hunger like an animal, I do not think they would be judged for it because it was necessary to maintain life. Yet, everything we want to acquire above animalistic existence is already egoism. After all, everything that we acquire above it directly or indirectly happens at the expense of other people. Thus, we use others, look for ways to be higher, and show our hatred for them. I begin to feel that the higher I am or the lower the other is, the more pleasant it is for me. That is, I am already thinking about ways to make it worse for someone else because it will make me feel better indirectly or even directly. Egoism is in the fact that I wish evil to the other. We do not feel to what extent in our world we use each other every second. We need to transform our evil nature into a good one, use the same qualities, only not to harm but to benefit others, to connect with them. Egoism is good because it connects us. I look at others to find out what I would like to learn from them so that I can influence them and subdue them. If it were not for egoism, I would exist as an animal on my own and I would not care about others. Egoism makes us connect with each other. But in the form we use it, it is called the evil inclination. I need to turn it into a good one. That is, from what I receive from everyone, subjugate, saturate, and bind to myself, I turn this connection into one where I serve them, fulfill them, and give to them as if they were my children whom I wish only the best. Therefore, without the evil inclination that binds us together, we cannot develop. Thus, a universal, global evil connection between us is being revealed in the world today. Along with this, Kabbalah is revealed because we have come to a state where we begin to understand that we are connected in a bad way, and we have no other choice. We must be connected by good connections. From Cab TV's Close Up, Faith and the Book of Zohar. Lack of communication is the most destructive state. Comment: the code laws of Sodom included, any foreigner is allowed to be robbed as well as to be mocked. Anyone who invites a foreigner to a wedding will be stripped of all his clothes as punishment. The duty of the Sodom judge is to ensure that every stranger leaves the country without a penny in his pocket. Everything was directed specifically at foreigners and was against hospitality and against connection. My response: in principle, those who did not comply with this directive were considered foreigners. Sodom is known as a special place. Nowhere else was there such a rule that reflected one of the four types of relationships between people: what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. This rule is the worst, because it does not allow people to have contact with one another. In any situation whatsoever, people did not want to have relationships with each other, only within one's own clan, family, and way of life. Question: is the principle what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine considered better? Answer: of course. After all, you enter into some kind of connection with others, learn from them, pass on to them, receive from them, and exchange something. Comment: but guided by this principle, people have plundered and fought throughout history. Answer: it was necessary for their development. But not here. Here I have nothing to do with you and you have nothing to do with me. Therefore, nature, the Creator, erased these cities so that there would not even be a memory of them. This is a dead-end branch of human development. If humanity had gone this way, it would have quickly ended its existence. The sages who revealed these states described them for the edification of posterity so that this would not happen again, so that it can be discussed and we will come to the conclusion that the lack of communication between people is most destructive. There have been no more such states in the history of mankind. This is only one case. It is described in the Bible and shows us that the lack of contact between us is the most vicious state. Question: so we don't have to go through this anymore? Answer: no. We won't be able to. In our world, everything is so tied together with all its parts, peoples, and states, that no one can be separate. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, December 7, 2021. Our secrets are no longer secrets. Kindle News, BBC. The mountain of waste electronic and electrical equipment discarded in 2021 will weigh more than 57 million tons, researchers have estimated. That is heavier than the Great Wall of China, the planet's heaviest artificial object. The assessment is by an international expert group dedicated to tackling the global problem of waste electrical and electronic equipment, WE. Question: so many gadgets are thrown away. People will not give up gadgets, electronics, or anything. Where does it all go when it is thrown away? Answer: I believe that a person who buys something new is obliged to bring the old one and take it to the same store for recycling. It is necessary to organize everything in this way. You can't buy any new product without returning the old one. Question: otherwise they should not sell me anything else? Answer: yes. They don't have the right, they have to get the old one first. Comment: once you said something fantastic, that if a person changes his thoughts, then all this will not need to be done, it will disappear by itself. People perceive it as fiction. My response: no, the fact is that if we were spiritually close to each other, we wouldn't need these gadgets. Why do we need to talk or correspond so much? It's all in the air. We would just feel and understand it, and we wouldn't have to write. Why should I write things that are already absolutely clear and understandable to everyone? And so we clog up the ether, we clog up the earth, we clog up everything. All this is hanging in the air, as they say. All information. This is even more than gadgets. What is happening in the air now? It's all being recorded. There is an organization. Each country has its own, which records on one huge disc, as on a CD, everything that is in the air. Absolutely everything. And when you need to get something, it is read at a certain frequency. And there you can hear your frequency, my frequency, his frequency. And that's how our conversations are pulled out and listened to when necessary. And when not, the record is deposited and a new record is recorded. For example, a new one every day. Question: are you making up some kind of scenario or are you talking about reality? Answer: I'm talking about something that exists. Imagine a disc on which absolutely all the noises in the air and passing through all networks are recorded. And they are all recorded on this record. It's a terrible noise, there's nothing in it. But when you then read it with a certain filter tuned to a certain frequency, for example the frequency of your gadget, then you can hear what you were saying there. Question: so there are no secrets? All phone conversations, all recordings? Answer: there is no question about it at all. Who cares about secrets today? Comment: we started with the environmental problem of gadgets. And now we are approaching the crazy problem of pollution of the entire ether. My response: this is a very big problem. Question: what is scarier? Answer: the ether is scarier, but we don't know much about it. Question: in what case will we get rid of these gadgets, these records, such thoughts? Answer: when we have a good relations between us, a good connection between us. When we will not hide anything from each other and it will be clear between us, without words, how we treat each other. A baby, when he is in his mother's womb, does not need any gadgets. And when he comes out, there is already a language, some gestures. But in principle, this is all a pitiful semblance of an internal connection between them. It's the same with us. We must gradually strive for an inner connection between us, and then we go to a completely different level of interaction and do not clog up any ether. Rather, we lift everything only to the area where there is only one upper light. Question: so we become such an embryo of the upper light? Answer: yes. We exist in it now. Question: our task is to realize this? Answer: yes. And to abandon these primitive devices of ours, these means of communication, and so on. Remark: and then the miracle will happen? Answer: yes. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, October 21, 2021. Why is man given the fear of death? Question: one of the most common concepts today is that a man lives once. Nevertheless, according to research by some sociologists, the fear of death is one of the three strongest fears that most people experience. But if a person lives once, why is he initially given the knowledge that he is mortal? Answer: of course, it would be better if we were like animals who do not understand what death means. They fear death instinctively, but they do not have the feeling of I will not exist. And people who are at, I would say, still a rudimentary level of development, do not have such a feeling either. And then there appears not really the fear of death but the fear of disappearance. Why is it given to a person? So that he becomes human. But instead, we try to rationally use this fear for our elevation, for our development. As a result, we try to somehow suppress this fear, camouflage, and obscure it so that it does not appear in us. Whatever concerns death, we distance from ourselves, be it a cemetery, a morgue, hospitals, or nursing homes. It is all out there somewhere, but we think less about it and touch it only if necessary. And what is beyond and if there will be anything after, we do not know at all. Therefore, we are trying with all our might to attach ourselves to the years when we really exist. Instead of looking at the end of his life, a person looks at the younger generation and engages with it as if seeing his continuation in them. But in fact, this is nothing more than self-deception because we have no clue. There is no correct, clear vision of what exists after death. Why is everything so ridiculous, so strange? Why does everything exist? This is the most important problem of man and humanity. After all, if there were no death, our whole lives would change, my view of the world, my attitude to it. Let's say we would live endlessly, we do not change, we do not get old. We would have no idea how we would exist, what our relationship to each other would be, what a completely different world we would be building. From CabTV's Close Up. Mystery of the Sphinx, February 5, 2010.